We are in an economy where people's attention span is so short. So you really need to zap them in, make them feel something, and then see them at the open.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe.
Hey everyone, it's Kylie Delhunty here. My guest today is someone who is just as well known in the international dance world as he is in the Australian real estate universe. He's someone who brings a unique perspective to selling property, preferring to inject a little life, soul, and joy into the process, both for his clients and his own love of getting a deal done. In the past few years, he's not only built a reputation as a down-to-earth, genuine real estate practitioner, he's developed a following for super clever, highly entertaining, and effective marketing. He's the man that puts rhythm into real estate. Josh Horner, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Yay.
It's so nice to have you here. We've actually been meaning to get you on for ages, so welcome.
Yeah, it's a huge honor. I'm quite excited.
Fantastic. Yeah, look, so just quickly, how's the start to 2024 been?
Oh my goodness, it's busy. It's like really busy. There is people calling and lots of listings. I feel like I'm juggling and one of those people with spinning a plate as well. So I'm just keeping it all going, but extremely driven and just literally got the blinders on right now, just focused and just going, right, how do I do this? How do I time manage the whole week and the opens on Saturday? But it's happening.
That's fantastic. It's a nice problem to have.
It is, especially in this business.
Fantastic. Now, look, I'm going to take you back to the start for just a second. And just in case people, listeners out there, have been living in a cave and don't quite know what you did before real estate, run me through your background and where you've come from.
Okay, so my whole life I was a professional dancer. I went through the Australian Ballet School for rigorous training. Then I was in the Australian Ballet for about 5.5 years, dancing all across Australia, and we did go overseas. Then I jumped into musical theatre. It's like Dirty Dancing, the musical, was my first musical, and that progressed on to Billy Elliot. And then I went to London for a show called Moving Out, where I got the lead role. And then I got transferred to Broadway. I bought my green card in between that story. So I used my wage from a show to buy a green card because that was my kind of progression I wanted to do. So I finally got to Broadway, had my green card, did Billy Elliot on Broadway, performed in the opening number with Elton John when Billy Elliot won 10 Tony Awards in 2009. It was amazing. And then also became a star of musical theatre in Australia. Oh, I was on television too with Dancing with the Stars. But yeah, that's a whole nother story. But a professional dancer.
Well, firstly, how did you get into dancing?
It's actually because I'm a severe asthmatic. I'm from a town called Wyong, but I live in Watanabe. It's got subdivided. It's quite a funny story. So I was the little wheezer of Wyong, and I tried swimming and gymnastics. I got infections from the chlorine in the pool as a little baby. I spent the first 3 years of my life in hospital with asthma. And the pediatrician was like, he needs to do something like dancing because he needs to build his lung strength. So it's through a medical drama that I had to get into dancing. And then that kind of became a passion. Then I was good at it. And then that progressed into a career into dance. So it's through my bad wheezy lungs that I had a whole career made out of it performing.
Yeah, that's incredible. So you were obviously good at it and enjoyed it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was a passion. I remember my sister and my mum did physical culture, you know, the stretching exercises that ladies do in girl guide halls around Australia. And I would copy them up the back and everyone was like, why is he so good? But I must have just enjoyed watching the movement and copying people. And that progressed into dancing and then got trained and then it got serious.
Fantastic. And you did mention Dancing with the Stars. You were the judge on, was it the first season?
No. I joined in 2011 and 2012. I had a 2-year contract and I was working at Disneyland in LA at the time, and I was moving my career into TV hosting and choreography. So I was choreographing parades at Disneyland, and I sent a TV hosting reel to my agent in Australia and was like, I'm focusing on this. Within 2 hours, she emailed me back. She goes, I've just sent this off to Channel 7. They're looking for a new judge on Dancing with the Stars. And I was like, well, I'm not a ballroom dancer. I'm like a musical theater, ballet, professional, contemporary type Broadway dancer. And she's like, that's what they're looking for. They want diversity on the judging panel. So I was living in LA. I did a Skype interview and I had to critique some old routines that they sent us. And I had a shot of tequila before I started, and I was living with like people in the film industry. So they made like a red curtain behind me. I was sitting in board shorts, but I put like a suit jacket on, and I was so naughty. I was like, that's this. I'm not going to swear, but I was really outrageous. And then Channel 7 were like, you're down to the final three. We're flying you out to Australia. I flew to Australia for 14 hours. I didn't even see my family. I went to Melbourne, sat on the panel with Helen and Todd. Then I flew back to LA and I got this call and they're like, you're the new judge on Dancing with the Stars. I was like, what? And then I had to commute each week from Disneyland to Melbourne to shoot the show. So we would shoot the show on a Sunday live across Australia. And then on Monday, I'd fly back to Disneyland and we were teching the parade in at night. So I was on this Australian time zone, but working in the Disneyland park at nighttime, and then fly back on like a Friday and then shoot the show on a Sunday for one day. It was crazy.
I was going to say, that is crazy. I mean, people talk about Taylor Swift and her jet at the moment, but it sounds like you're doing more.
Me and Tate, they live in the same high life. I doubt it. I had to pay for all the fee, all the airfares. So that's a whole nother story. But anyway.
What were you doing at Disneyland?
So I had this book of being a Disney Imagineer. And the Imagineers, where they fuse engineering and imagination, but they're a kaleidoscope of amazing people that create all the magic behind the scenes of Disneyland. So when I was in Australian Ballet on opening night in New York, I met these people that knew people at Disneyland. And for over 10 years, I kept in touch with a guy called Tom Fitzgerald. And he then became quite high up at Disney. So when it got time that my dance career was slowing down, I rang Tom and we kept in touch. So he was like, it's time for your Disney career to start. So I was choreographing at Disneyland their parades. I choreographed a water fountain show. That was my first show. It's called World of Color. So I was creating how the water fountains would dance and move. And I think I was one of the first Australians, or if not the only Australian, well, I'll probably get pulled up on that, but to choreograph a full-length parade, 92 dancers, 10 floats, all in forward motion, 2 minutes worth of choreography that you only see 30 seconds as it passes you. And I'm super proud of that. So that parade was called Soundsational. And I did a couple of other shows and then worked for what was called then Disney Performing Arts, where dance studios would come over to Disneyland and they would do a performing arts ticket and work with a dance clinician. That's what we were called. And we would just teach the kids about the Disney magic, about performing, do mock auditions for them to teach them how to get a job as a performer at Disneyland. So it's quite involved. Yeah, it was 8 years of my life. And I used to sneak into the park. We weren't allowed to, but I would take my badge off and I'd sneak into the park after my classes and I'd go on the rides and eat ice cream. I kind of miss that.
Now they know. Now they know you've just told
them. They're allowed to know now. They can't get me now.
Fantastic. So how do you go from all of that to real estate? There doesn't seem like there's much connection. What happened? How did you get there?
Oh my goodness, I forgot to tell you, I had my own TV show in America too called Oh My Josh, and that was a 5-episode docu-series. So that happened after Dancing with the Stars. Nothing really eventuated from this TV show, but it happened and it took 3 years of my life to get it, you know, become a Hollywood producer, to get a show up and running. When nothing really happened, I was kind of like, I'm kind of done with show business, and my green card was needing to be renewed, or I could become a citizen. And if you've got a green card, you have to live in the country for 6 months of the year. And I was, I'm feeling a bit homesick. I'd like to go home. So I came home had ticked the box, bought the t-shirt, had all that experience. And I was like, well, what's next? I can't dance anymore. I'm not really in the mood to be teaching. I'm kind of done with show business. I was up for another TV show on Channel 7, but I didn't get it. And I was, oh, what do I do? My friend, Tanya Nevin-Jones, she's a real estate agent. She's like, for God's sakes, you need to do real estate. And I was like, no, I don't want to learn anything. No, I don't like video editing. She's like, you need to do real estate. So reluctantly kicking and screaming, I came home. I thought I need to find a job and a job that I could possibly grow old with. And so I started doing the certificate of registration. Don't do that online if you have no idea about real estate. I was like, what's a vendor? What's exchange mean? That sounds like a nightclub I used to go to. Like, there were so many random things that I was, this is so difficult. And that's how I kind of fell into real estate. It certainly wasn't something that I saw myself doing. I was kind of pushed into it by my friends.
You're still in it. How many years later?
This will be my sixth year in June, July.
Yeah, fantastic. Once you got to the fun bit, you know, you've got the certificate, you're a qualified agent. Were you naturally good at it, or were you going, what the hell have I done?
It was a big reality hit once you're in your hometown and you're walking the streets doing letterbox drops and anniversary letter. Like, you're just, wow, this is reality hitting big time. But because it was new, and you know what I've really noticed with real estate? In a, like a barbecue situation, I would go there and I'd have no way of talking to people or keeping a conversation going. I'd talk about my career and then I have no relatability to anyone. With real estate, there is so many conversations and tracks you can go down that I find that I can hold a conversation with people now, and it's quite enjoyable for me to go, oh, I kind of fit in and I can talk to people. The reality of not being in showbiz and doing real estate, I had to grow up. I had to take responsibility and say, this is life now and this is a choice you've made, so you have to make it work and you have to be a star.
Again,
the bug was still in me.
A star, but in a totally different arena.
Yeah, it was difficult at first. And, you know, the confidence of picking up the phone and not knowing how to drive a conversation on the phone. I'd just be, you know, oh, have you thought of selling? And no, bye. Like, I just didn't know where I could take the conversation and talk about everything else but real estate to naturally kind of get rapport with people. And yeah, that just all of a sudden, just naturally, I found so many transferable skills from the performing dance world that I could just kind of implement. And I struggled when I first started. I, you know, respect the guys that I started with, but I really was lacking direction. Like, tell me what to do. Tell me what to say. I'm a dancer. If you tell me what moves to do, I will go and perform it really well. So that was really lacking, and kind of just waking up and getting into the office and going, how do I structure my day? Like, oh, I've got ADHD big time. I'm just lost. So I kind of started with anniversary letters, that system of who's having an anniversary, drop the letter off if they were accidentally there, doing a happy anniversary dance. That's how it kind of started, in letterbox drops.
That's the back to basics, isn't it?
Yeah, weird, because I also had to get used to learning all the streets as well, like printing a map out and trying to work out what is my area that I've been told to go and sell houses in. So yeah, it was just every day was learning. It was like a sponge. It was quite good. But when I look back now, I'm like, I sit in the office now and the phone just calls. Sell my house. Who are you bringing out? Oh, no, we want you. I'm like, yes. Okay, good. Like, it's really shifted.
So to get that shift in the early days, I guess, can you identify a couple of things, one or two things that really helped you get that traction?
I remember my first sale, and I remember giving the key over to the lady. Her name was Margaret. And because I come from Disneyland, I was like, where's the fireworks? Where's the ta-da? There was nothing. It was just handing keys over and a gift. And I was like, this is weird. So then I was, oh, I want to do a little soul dance or do something that's a little more animated, a little more celebratory. And I think of it like exit through the gift shop. So it becomes a memory between me and my clients that funnily enough, over the years, when we post the videos, they come back as memories. And I'm like, well, there's your anniversary, Lena. It's just a memory. And then people were just, this is fun. This is celebratory. This is what real estate should be about. And I started to find that people would warm to that vibe and they'd want what the other people are feeling. So real estate became more about an emotional feeling rather than just a simple transaction. And then my results started to prove themselves where, you know, I built trust with buyers that go, we get you. We understand the comparable sales. And we understand that we want to give you that offer. And then I'd be like, oh my goodness, we're starting to break a couple of records here. And then the proof of that success of transactions and feelings, mix it all together, I started to build this profile of a real estate agent that will get you through it. And you'll probably have a good time while you do it as well.
Because normally people don't. Normally real estate's seen as stressful. Were you trying to, I guess, change that perspective?
100%. My theory is that a real estate transaction needs to be very joyous and very fun. I can see the hurdles in front of us and I grab my owner's hands and these are our hurdles and we're going to put our Cathy Freeman Olympics unitard on and we're going to look fabulous and we're going to run through it together. So you kind of preconceive the whole journey or the show and you put your markers out there that people understand that when it gets stressful, I got you. I got you back. I'm going to look after you. We're going to rip the Band-Aid off together. So you build this. I've learned that with real estate is just that ripping the Band-Aid off. Like the quicker you just say it how it is for awkward conversations, people just go, oh, okay, I get it. I was tiptoeing around it in the beginning going, oh, how do I? But now when I just explain a situation to someone, they get it. They're fine about it.
Yeah, fantastic. And I was just thinking, with your dance background and you've done auditions and all of that, did that help you when you went and stood in someone's living room to the listing appraisal or the, you know, to try and get the business? Did it help or were you still really nervous?
I mean, in the beginning I was, but it's an audition. I mean, I've done so many auditions in my life. You're so right that that's how you see it. I feel body language is my biggest secret. So I can read a person and you start to go, if they're like just wanting the facts, you just give them the facts. If they want to have a cup of tea and a talk, then there's a whole journey that you need to take with them and give them the time to listen. So I find it weird now because I don't even know if I've got a clever listing presentation. I kind of walk in now and people just kind of say, what do we do? And I just instruct them and show them the blueprint and my strategy of getting them from for sale to sold. And it just kind of happens now. There's no real big song or dance. There's lots of comments like, oh, you sold for our friends and they said how wonderful it was. Or we saw what you did down the road and, oh, we actually came through an open home with you and we loved how you were just natural with us and spoke to us and followed us up. So there's lots of things that I haven't realized I was doing correctly because I was just instinctually doing them that have reaped rewards now later on.
Yeah, you just mentioned follow up. So what are a couple of the other things that you now realize if you were training a young Josh that you could go, you really need to do this because you can see now that it's worked?
I was going to say I totally need to tell young Josh as a real estate agent to learn how to file your emails away. I am like a cyber hoarder and it's bad. Yeah, I need help with that.
Because you said you were doing follow-up and then you realized that that helped. What are the other things that have helped you get, I guess, those repeat customers and those referrals?
It is the social media side of things. I started during the COVID period really emphasizing and doing listing videos. And then I would back it up with a soul dance. So it's kind of like I bookend my entire process. And I started to believe in myself to say, if people are going to use you as a real estate agent, they want to see how you work. They want to see how you sell the house. They want to see how you celebrate it. So I think just pumping out consistently the online kind of, this is me being a real estate agent. It organically just tells people Josh knows what he's doing. This is how he sells a house, and naturally just happens. I find that I'm the divorce king or queen. I find that if people are getting divorced, that I can really talk to the blokes, but the women that might be upset with men at that time in their lives, they feel comfort talking to someone like me, the secret gay that can get you through the drama and also be your handbag and also help you through it. But there's different dynamics like that. And then I think also if you're a young person trying to get in the industry, I would definitely try and start in the area where people would know you from either sports or school. So a lot of school friends, they then tell their friends and it just bushfires out. But I'm digressing. I'm sorry.
No, that was perfect because I was just about to ask you about your marketing and I've got to tell you a little funny story. I have an 11-year-old daughter and about 6 months ago, because I mean, I stalk agents on social media because I have no life. And so I'm looking at some of your videos and she pops over, "Mum, what are you watching?" And so she watched an entire video. She's 11 of yours. And now without fail, every week she will say, "Mum, what's House Guy doing?" You're known as House Guy?
House Guy. Wow.
But she loves those House videos. And I mean that as a compliment. So those videos that you create, and I saw one of you recently, yourself as the agent, and you were a cowboy. Jack.
Yeah, I played Jack.
Yeah.
He was a buyer. So I played Josh Horner and Jack Horner, the buyer. So I was like, well, it's not Jack Horner, but I just make that joke in my head. But my videographer, Isaac from Kavu Creative, he literally trusts me on everything. We get to a campaign and we just kind of feel the vibe. We don't have it planned sometimes. Sometimes we know where we want to kind of hit a marker, but okay, there's a fine balance, I feel, with real estate videos. For me, all I think of is a couple in bed scrolling through, watching or looking for a house, and I've got 1 minute to 2 minutes to hook, line, and sinker them in. So I need to be saying really key words that might throw energy or feeling or emotion because photos are more like a white, right? But the feeling of a house, what you might feel, what you might sense, what you might want for your future, pumping in those emotive feelings and energy is what I want to do in the video. Balancing trying to entertain and not try to make it too much about the agent. Because there is a balance. So I always remember my TV hosting course, Marky Costello was my coach and she's like, talk to your audience. So I'm always thinking about what the audience wants to hear from me and what I hear at open homes, you know, whether you're talking about high ceilings or you're talking about what the pool view is looking like. It's just always hook, line and sinker that way.
Because you have to have, I guess, those two things that you're meeting. You want it to be entertaining, but you need to show off the house as well, don't you?
That's the thing. I always think the photos are the widescreen and then the video needs to be the teaser. So it's like, oh, I saw a bit, but I want to really go and see what he's... And I will say little funny things. Like one time I had a little like servery window and I was like, the sausage rolls are ready, doll. I was just being silly, playing a character in a vintage type of home. The buyers would come in and replicate that moment. And they were like, Josh, your sausage rolls are ready, duck. They would play a scene that they saw in a real estate video in the actual house, which I was like, oh my gosh, there is something magic going on here. That's what we want. That's what vendors want. I want to bring you into the house, get off the couch and come and play the scene. It's like being in a musical, being on stage, playing the lines.
Yeah. So you said something interesting then. You don't use the one medium for everything. You distinctly want the pictures to be more about the property and the video, for example, to be dragging people into the pictures and into the open.
Yes. So obviously with real estate photography, I'm always thinking, what are people looking for? So, you know, you get a picture of a bedroom. I don't necessarily want it to be just of the wall or like I want to show the floor space around it. I want to show the wardrobe that's there. I also want to maybe capture the ceiling fan or the ducted. Like there's, or then I want to capture a view. So there's lots of things I'm trying to capture in that one picture. I'm a nightmare with my photographer. I'm like breathing down his neck on every angle. And I'll probably go in first when I list the house and I'll start taking photos of the angles that I want. And then with the video, then that's a complete different vibe. I trust Isaac that when he's there, I'm like, what do you feel? What do you see when you're at this house? And he'll pick up things that I don't even pick up. And I have a lot of fun with my videos, but I do start to run out of ideas. So I am nervous about that.
And do you ever get a vendor that goes, oh no, I don't want a video?
Yeah, absolutely you do. I had one lady that she gave me three of my videos and she's like, I like the tone of these three videos. I don't want a comical one. And I was like, done, all good.
Because sometimes with real estate videos, it can be a fine line between entertaining and showing the property. And how do you get the balance?
Well, you as the person or you as the agent. So it is hard that you got to balance the agent's ego and remember that the job is the client's house. They have hired you to sell your house. They have hired you to pull in as many people to create competition to potentially get the best possible price that the market is willing to offer. The agent's got to take their ego out of it. And it's also about grabbing people's attention. If you're doing a long intro about setting up a storyline or a plot, no. We are in an economy where people's attention span is so short. So you really need to zap them in, make them feel something, and then see them at the open.
Fantastic. And look, if someone is new to real estate or thinking, I really need to set up my personal brand, what would be your tips for doing that?
Just be confident with doing it. When I did things that were cheeky, they proved to be successful. And I started to go, I'm confident that I'm just trying something different in a very heavily repetitive market. Like if I hear one more thinking of selling or, you know, have you thought of having an approach? Like it's just so repetitive. All the great speakers that we have in our industry, are we all there saying the same dialogue? Like people are not stupid. Your two words are trust and confidence with the entire community. If you can build trust and confidence with people, then they'll listen to what you have to say. Otherwise, you just sound like a bloody parrot just repeating some scripts or dialogue from some real estate coach. That's probably mine. And people yearn for authenticity in the real estate game. And if you've got the personality of a dial tone, then you're just going to possibly be a cold caller and never progress anywhere. So if you want to be that star agent and have an attraction crowd, then have confidence. I mean, I have a bloody garden gnome as my logo. Crazy.
I wanted to ask you about the gnome. How did you get a gnome?
I did bring my little gnome here. What happened was, we've probably got a couple of things to talk about, but when I went out with Urban X, they were doing branding and stuff like that. And they were creating shapes and they asked me all these key emotive words that I loved. I love stars. I love universe. I love freedom. I love playfulness. So what happened was I was literally getting a cup of tea. I've brought him here to show you. I actually have this as a little cookie jar and I went and got a cup of tea. And at the same time, I was watching The Block and they got a point when they got a gnome. The gnome was lucky. It was like a one extra point to win that week. And I just was like, oh my goodness. And then I just went onto the internet in an ad break and I was like, what's the meaning of garden gnomes? And there was so many words of talking about protecting a house and little men that come to life at night. I mean, that's right up my alley. I just thought this was hilarious. And then I thought, how playful is that? And garden gnomes, and when we do, you know, go to people's houses, there's always little garden gnomes and it's a relatable character. And then I was like to the team, scrap all your ideas. I want a garden gnome. And they were like, what? Because a lot of the designs are sexy and luxury and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, no. My marketplace is good old suburban families and all this sort. I'm like, nah, we're garden gnome people. Let's do this. Yeah, they designed that logo and I was like, that is it. But I wanted one arm up because I wanted him to be dancing. And then I've gone a bit crazy with things. So now you can see my pool floaty behind me. Now I've got bathrobes with the gnome with a little hoodie. And now I've got a little gnome also that I give out to people that buy houses with me. And he's got a cute little bum.
He's got a Kardashian bum.
Yeah, designed off the creator of... No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's been so playful. And my ex-boss was like, oh, I got a gnome. And I was like, watch me. And yeah. Can I tell you what it is also? It's years of working at Disneyland and walking around Disneyland and watching the kids in the gift shop. And even I love Donald Duck. I love Mickey Mouse. This is my Mickey Mouse. This is my iconic thing that I can either get kids involved with, and then as they grow up, they'll always remember, oh, the garden gnome guy or the house guy. It's a very good thing on my callbacks. Hi, it's Josh Horner here from the Horner Agency. I know you saw a lot of houses. Which guy were you again? I'm the one with the gnome. Oh, Josh, yeah, the gnome. How you doing, mate? They instantly know who it is, and that's, I think, what people are trying to achieve with a brand is to be just memorable.
And you give them that as a gift when, you know, they're a buyer or they've sold and then they put it in their garden and you've got all these gnomes around town.
Absolutely. And then their friends go, I want a gnome. You know, I put this pool floaty on Facebook and everyone's like, I want a gnome. I want a gnome. I'm like, you got to sell with me.
How do you get a pool floaty? You got to sell your house. Ticker.
Yeah.
So, Josh, what does the future hold for you? What do the next 12 months look like?
I want to cry. I'm busy. Look, it's just building a brand, trying to do perfect every day. We all know in this industry that you do one little thing that doesn't appeal to someone and they can really go you, hashtag a current affair. But I just want to do my best. I want to be authentic and get busier. I would like to build. I do probably need to spread my wings and bring on either PAs or sales associates or introduce other agents that want to be part of this playful brand for a real estate agency. But I'm extremely picky and I've done my hard yards and I know what it's like to be a casting agent for Disney. I've got to find the right vibration that matches my level that we can all grow together. I find in the industry, so many people feel frustrated that they feel they're doing all the dirty work for maybe a high performing agent. That's not my mentality. I've been a ballet dancer. I've got a very hard work ethic. So if they become team members, you know, we all fly and grow together. And I would be very respectful of them not feeling like they're just doing all the hard stuff. But I do probably need a bit of help with that right now, just getting busier.
Because how many in your team right now? Have you got any help?
No, it's just me. The team at UrbanX, who do all my listings concierge, contracts concierge once we, you know, selling and exchanging, plus the marketing team, they are amazing. They are frothing at every idea I want to do. And then I also have a business manager who's watching my stats and my KPIs and growing and stuff like that. So I'm a little stubborn when it comes to that. I'm probably some other real estate agencies are probably watching me going, you know, even my strongest competitors, they say to me, oh, come to us, or they think differently like me. I want to try and keep quality. I've been a broke dancer pretty much my whole life. So this job is extremely rewarding. I joke with people and say, if I can buy a t-shirt and go out for breakfast, I'm happy. I don't need to be a gazillionaire to find happiness. I think it would become very stressful. I'd rather just give good quality service, have great connections, and just be busy, but I would like a holiday.
Doesn't everyone?
How do I have a holiday?
Well, look, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to chat to you. There's always one question we ask at the end. What one tip or piece of advice or message would you like to leave everyone with today?
Oh my goodness, don't take yourself so serious. Have a bit of fun, be playful, dance your way through life and share joy and spark joy in other people.
Amazing. Josh Horner, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.